Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 64 of Nerd Pride Radio. 64? It's a power of two. What else do you want from an episode number? I could make a Nintendo 64 reference here, I suppose, but no, come on. 2 to the 6th power. That's all you need. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me. I am a little bit grumpy, actually, if you need to know the truth. It's been, oh, what a day. Look, I'll get into this more later, but Saturday I put out episode 63, and we rushed out the door to some scout thing, which I'll also tell you more about later. And then I find out while I'm on the road that, oh my God, the sound is screwed. I don't know what to do with it. It's nothing to do until I get home. So I get home. First thing in the morning, I check it out, and now it's broke. It's broke. The originals are corrupted. Terrible. And that put me in a bad mood. So then I thought, no, that's fine. Sunday night, I got some time. I will put it together. I will give you guys a bonus episode. We will throw away that old episode, and I will give you guys a new bonus episode, this episode. It fell through. The computer wasn't working. The sound wasn't cooperating. Everything sounded terrible for completely different reasons than the reason episode 63 sounded terrible. Oh, so today is Columbus Day, and I am a government employee, which means I am lazy and I do nothing. And so I'm home for the day. It's Columbus Day. The kids got to go to school. My wife has to go to school. I have the whole day to make up this episode to you guys. Oh, it's perfect. All right, you know what? I'm going to get up early. I'm going to do some laundry. I'm going to do some dishes. I'm going to get out and do some shopping. And then I will have this whole block in the middle of the day to get this podcast recorded and still be able to get some other stuff done around here. It'll be beautiful. And then what happens? Oh, God, 10:30. I've just gone to the store. I'm picking up a bunch of groceries. Because I'm going to make some more of that beef barley soup that if you had listened to episode 63, and I don't recommend doing it, but if you got through the sound issues, you would realize that I love my beef barley soups. I bought all the stuff to make more soup. And at 10:30, my son calls me from school. Well, not school, but he's like 15 miles away. That's where the school is. He's in that town. And he calls me and says, Dad, I locked my keys in my car. Oh, you're kidding with me. He's in journalism class, and he's on the yearbook committee, and he has to make ad sales for the yearbook. And while he was making a stop at one of the ad sales at a bank, by the way, which is closed on Columbus Day anyway, which he found out much to his chagrin, and he locks his keys in his car. And now I'm at Walmart. I haven't even paid for my stuff yet. And he's like, well, can you come help me? Cause I'm the only one who has a spare key to his car, apparently. Oh, so my day is shot. I get all that taken care of. Drive 25 minutes up to help him, get it all worked out, go visit my wife as long as I'm in town, 25 minutes back. And now there's that whole chunk that I had set aside in the middle of the day for doing the podcast, gone, completely gone. So my solution is I'm just going to blow off all the other stuff I had planned. That's it. You guys are way more important than that. And so now that I'm actually here and I'm recording, as it turns out, I am awesome. This is really good. That came around really nicely. I am Mike Jones, just your average, ordinary, everyday superhero On top of that, I'm a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comic nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus like 7 other kinds of nerd that I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You're listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my brain anymore. Oh, my co-host this week is my deep sense of shame and regret at having screwed up that last podcast. I am so sorry. I'm serious. It's bad. I listened to it. It about blew my ears out. I still haven't gotten to it. I keep trying. And I'm like, maybe I'll just throw it away. But I finally left it up there. I tagged a little disclaimer at the beginning of it, which this was part of the problems I was having last night. Somehow the sound on that was screwed up. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I think I got it figured out now. I think things are better, but we're just going to take a walk on that one. We'll take a mulligan and we'll move on. And since we're here, let's officially get to the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last, 2 days since I dropped the last podcast. And if something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy 2 days, I will add it to my master list. And then the best stuff off that list will get spewed out all over you guys every time I record. You lucky dogs. So, straight into the master list. First off, a little meta talk.
Oppenheimer!
Yeah, meta talk is where I'm pulling back the curtain, talking about the podcast, the website, blah, 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 blah. You know the routine. Okay, I've already actually covered most of my meta talk just doing the intro credits because I'm so sorry that I screwed up episode 63. I'm telling you, I don't know what it is. I was listening back to it. It sounded fine. I had all the stuff in it. Then I encode it to MP3 and I put it out there. And then next thing I know, I'm listening to it on my headphones and it's got this distortion in it and everything's screwed up. It's this buzzing, twisty sound that is not conducive to good listening. And so I go back and I check and I figured, something must have screwed up in the encoding when I converted it to MP3. I'll just go back to the original files. We'll just redo it. It's no big deal. No, the whole original file for episode 63 is screwed up. Even where I inserted the theme music, you've heard the theme music, 62 times before that. And the theme music is fine. All right. Because I just used the same clip every single time. But this time, the theme music where I've put it into episode 63, even that's distorted. Something screwed up the entire recording. I don't know what got off. I don't know how to fix it. No clue. So, like I say, we're leaving that one back and I'm going to move on. But, for those of you who, like me, can't bear to listen to episode 63, I am going to give a quick recap of it. Hold on.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
Actually, I'm actually going to give a real recap too. Updates, I talked about my dramatic weight loss of the last week, and I gave all credit and thanks to beef barley soup, which I gave a recipe for. Maybe I'll post the recipe online for those who don't want to listen. But I'm also making some beef barley soup. Not today, because again, I'm blowing off the beef barley soup and my other chores in order to talk to you guys. But I'll make the soup tomorrow. And then I had a Nerd Culture Report where I raved about my friend Pat's new podcast. DM Darks from the website, Pat. He has a new podcast called Me Like Trivia. And if you didn't listen to the last episode, go tune in. I love his podcast. It's really, really good. And they've only got one episode. And I was thoroughly entertained. And what I want is all of you to go find the threads. I've got at least 2 threads on my site, on my forums where I have pointed to, the feed for this podcast. I want all of you to go listen to it. Because A, I think you'll enjoy it, but B, because I want them to see the downloads. I want them to get a lot of good feedback. I want them to know that their style of entertainment is appreciated, because I want them to make more episodes for me. All right. Because I enjoy listening to it and they owe me more episodes. So let's get out there and support them so that I can be entertained. That's what I want. After that, I did some meta talk, where I complained about my broken microphone, which, by the way, the broken microphone is just a broken stand. That's for those of you going, well, maybe a new microphone to fix your sound issues. It wasn't in that. The recording was fine. I swear it was. It's just a broken stand. But other than that, I also talked about how much I appreciate you guys, and I do. Let's see, what else did I do after? I did the gaming table, where I went on a little bit about my current gaming groups, but I didn't really say anything of substance. So That was a lost cause. And then in the science corner, I went on ad nauseum about how optimistic I am about our chances of one day colonizing space and eventually inhabiting other solar systems. I truly believe in that. I wish my wife said, well, why don't you just re-record the episode? I'm like, because so much of it is spontaneous. I would feel like the times I've done that where I've done a bit and then I didn't use that recording and I've tried to recreate the bit, there's always my favorite moments of what I did last time. And I'm always like stretching to try and hit those points again. And I always feel like I'm a little disjointed and it never quite it doesn't come out the same. Each time is this own organic growth of conversation. And when I try and recreate something I've already done, it just doesn't quite feel right. So unfortunately, if you want to hear that, you're going to have to go listen. And I did an unnamed history segment last time, talked about the super cool Poveglia Island, an abandoned island / fortress / insane asylum off the coast of Venice in Italy. Awesome. But my real regret for screwing up last week's cast, and this will be the last part I say about it, I hope, was that I lost the Potomatics. Oh, the Potomatics were really good. But they always are. And that's because that's the part of the show where you guys are contributing and I'm just playing off what you guys give me. And I always enjoy the crap out of that. And especially last time, one of my favorite, and I don't know if it entertains anybody else, but one of my favorite bits, that I've ever done in a Potomatic was, Humongous gave me a question about Frazetta versus Vallejo. Frank Frazetta. I can't remember. But anyway, Frank Frazetta versus Boris Vallejo, who are both classic fantasy artists, and which one do I prefer? And I mean, I waxed poetic about it for ages. I had actually a really strong, solid opinion, and I thought I expressed it really well, and I really enjoyed that. I even went to Google, and I got some supporting evidence that none of you could see, but you'll have to take my word for it that, oh, man, it drove my point home, baby. And also a question from my brother Kyle about Warehouse 13, because I love Warehouse 13, and I'm sure I've mentioned it several times. You guys know how much I like the show, but again, I enjoyed talking about it. So I'm sorry I lost your Potomatics. Well, they're not lost. They're there. If anyone wants to listen to them, you can. I keep speaking like this is, this episode has fallen into a black hole. No, it just sounds crappy. That's all. So anyway, listen to it. Don't listen to it. Whatever. That's what happened. So now, sadly, because there's only been literally 2 days since my last episode came out, I've only had 2 days worth of master list stuff, which means, honestly, other than complaining about the last podcast, which has been occupying my mind like crazy for the last 48 hours, I've only got one other item on my master list, and that is my Nerd Pride turntable.
Jamboree handouts, two turntables and a microphone. Bottles and cans, or just clap your hands, or just clap your hands.
Yeah, really, I am not a real music nerd. I'm just a wannabe music nerd, and I'm talking about music. So I went to the Cub Scout Boy Scout Scouting Jubilee on Saturday. The Jubilee is once, it used to be once every 3 years. Apparently now it's once every 4 years. Once every 4 years, they have this huge celebration get-together thing with all sorts of different scouting events and activities, and scouts come from all over the state, all over the region. I think we had, I don't even remember how many states represented. They gave a number, and if I say it now, I'm just making stuff up because I don't remember what it was. But in addition to all the other stuff that goes on, which, by the way, foam core weaponry rocks. This was the best. This is not the topic because this is supposed to be the turntable, but let me just say, we got down there and they gave some foam core instruction to, I mean, literally a bunch of, 8 to 15 year old kids, and they've got enough swords and shields and various other weaponry for 50 kids to all participate at once. And they just went nuts. I mean, they sat them down, they gave them real instruction, the rules about how you participate, and hey, if you get hit, here's what happens. If you lose a leg, lose an arm, if you get killed, here's how you react, which all of this was brand new to me. I've never done foam core. But these guys were really into it, and they were really good, and they just let these kids go with them. That was the magic, is that these kids got to go out and play with swords, and they were allowed to hit each other, because that was the point of the game, is they were supposed to hit each other. And as they're, outlining all of the places on your body that are off limits for hitting, one kid raises his hand and asks the obvious question. So, wait, you can hit guys in the groin? And the instructor said, well, yeah, of course you can. That's an allowed area. He said, now, it's really, really unsportsmanlike and really, really mean, but it's also really funny. So he said, just beware that if you choose to do that, they may choose to do it back. And we never had a problem with it. It was just fun. My kids had a great time. They did one-on-one competitions. They did a big free-for-all. They did for a while. My kids finally got tired of it. They had like an hour that they were doing this. And so my kids finally got tired. And so we all sat on the sidelines and just watched everybody else. It was brilliant. But that's not the reason I brought up the Jubilee. The reason I brought up the Jubilee is every Jubilee ends Saturday night with a big concert, a big get. Well, they also had a concert Friday night too, but it was a minor. It was like a hair metal tribute band, which supposedly was pretty cool from the people who saw it. But for us, we got to see Smash Mouth. That was the big act. All right. And in previous years, I have been there and I've seen, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. I saw, Lee Greenwood one year. That was the year just before I started with my kids, Weird Al. Oh, didn't get to see Weird Al at Jubilee. I have seen Weird Al, but I didn't get to see him at Jubilee. But this time it was Smash Mouth. And my thought on Smash Mouth was, you know what, if it wasn't Jubilee, I wouldn't even bother. I'm not, you know, I like some Smash Mouth songs, and, you know, Smash Mouth was very, you know, I own a couple albums. I remember Smash Mouth in the 90s, but, you know, that was the 90s, right? And as I'm telling people that I'm going to go see Smash Mouth at the Jubilee, you can't believe the amount of flack at Smash Mouth. What year is this? Oh my God, aren't they old? Holy, oh Jesus, I can't. Really? Smash Mouth? Okay. But let me tell you that I had a blast. Smash Mouth in concert was phenomenal. These guys rock. And sure enough, look, the first thing that happens when I get there, you know, we're set up. We've watched the opening act, which I'll get to in a minute. Smash Mouth finally hits the stage. And the first thing I think when Smash Mouth gets there is, wow, are they gray? Oh my God, Smash Mouth has gotten old. Which, you know, it's been 20 years. But they rock. They rock hard because they had fun. Every single one of them was having a good time up on stage, and they were interacting with each other. They'd talk, they'd kind of improvise some stuff, they'd just hang out, and they were really entertaining. And, my 19-year-old, Jacob, was there, and he was also thoroughly entertained. We got to the end, and we were both just grinning like idiots because we had so much fun watching Smash Mouth. The 8-year-old and the 11-year-old loved it because, well, thank God. Oh, yeah, the guys who do the Shrek songs. Yeah, those guys. Okay, cool. Then we all know what we're doing. And it was just a lot of fun. Because I told my son beforehand, I said, look, they're going to play their big ones. All right. We know that they're going to play Walking on the Sun. We know that they're going to play, All Star. That's the big one. And sure enough, that was their closer. I forgot about Believer, by the way. I'm a Believer. Well, that's right. That was from Shrek too. I forgot. Can't Get Enough of You, Baby. I know all those are going to happen. I said, but the songs I want Roadman, which they didn't play, sadly. And I want the Fonz. I love the Fonz. That song is great. And sure enough, middle of the concert, they start up with the Fonz, and I'm like, the music is thumping. I'm like, oh my God, it's the Fonz. I was like a little fangirl. It was awesome. And I sang, I burnt my voice out. God, if I had gotten to record yesterday, I sounded terrible yesterday because I burned out my voice watching a Smash Mouth concert. That is how much fun I had. Crazy. And all right. Let me get to the opening act. The opening act is a kid named Aiden Fisher. I don't know if you've seen Aiden Fisher. He's on YouTube and he made some talk show appearances and 5 million hits on YouTube, this kid. Okay. But Aiden Fisher is a local kid. And in fact, when they went around, they introduced the band because he made a name for himself, and I'll explain that. And then they go around and they're introducing the band. He's now gathered up this band, the Aiden Fisher Band. And they're introducing each band member. And when it got to him, he says, yeah, I'm Aiden Fisher. I'm 12 years old. I go to Papillion Junior High School. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. I went to that school. And I got to tell my kids. And they're like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, shut up. You don't get it. But yeah, he's 12. When he first hit it big, he was 11. And I haven't watched the YouTube video myself. I haven't seen any of his appearances or other stuff. All I've seen is his live performance. But apparently, Aiden Fischer went to a Steely Dan concert with his dad. And somehow in the course of this concert, it was a Steely Dan concert in Omaha, and somehow during the course of this concert, Aiden Fischer, 11 years old, winds up challenging their guitarist on stage to a guitar battle. And by all accounts, whipped his ass. All right? 11 years old. And completely blew this guy out of the water. That's, again, I haven't watched the video. I'm just taking everyone's word on it. But from what I saw, I believe it. All right? Because I watched Aiden Fischer and his Aiden Fischer band performing as the opening act. And they were not that good. He was awesome. This kid plays guitar like nobody's business. I mean, you're watching his fingers work. And, I mean, honestly, it felt like the amazement I had when I watched Eddie Van Halen play guitar with Van Halen back in the 80s. It's like that same kind of, oh my God, I didn't know people could do that. And this kid was good at 11 years old. But he's a good guitar player, but in order to make money out of him, they've put him together as the Aiden Fischer Band. And so they've gathered a bunch of local kids that are all from the Omaha area, Millard, Omaha, Papillion. And they put these kids together, and they're all ranging in age from, I think the oldest was 16. They got some 15-year-old blonde girl to do their lead singing. There's a 12-year-old girl playing the keyboards. He's got a second guitarist and a bass player who are both like 14, 16, something like that. Anyway, it's a bunch of local kids, and that's the problem, is they had a gimmick here of, ooh, 12-year-old guitarist who just kills it. Well, let's put together a teenage band made up of all local kids, and we'll market this. And it doesn't come together well. They don't really know their style yet. All they know is that they have to have songs that feature his guitar really heavily. And it didn't come together well. I mean, I'm watching it going, okay, yeah, no, I like his guitar playing. He's good, but whatever. It's not that spectacular. I mean, this is not that great a band. You still need to have a real performance. And that's the other thing, is that the entire time they're up there, they must have done, 7, 8, 9 songs as the opening act. I don't remember. Aiden Fischer, the guy the band is named after, Aiden Fischer, barely has an expression at all. I mean, literally, if it wasn't for his fingers moving, you'd think he was a mannequin. I mean, he didn't look at the audience. He had no expression on his face. He never cracked a smile. He never moved around the stage. I mean, the other performers he was with, even at 14, 16 years old, these people, they were jumping around the stage. They were moving. They were trying to make a show. And Aiden Fischer plays guitar. And that's what he does. And he does it really, really, really well. But as far as stage presence, he almost wasn't there. You got the impression that he would much rather just be backstage and just let people hear his guitar without having to look at him. And it got me to thinking about this kid. And again, I know nothing about him. It's not like, I talked to him. It's not like I've seen interviews with him or anything. But just imagine yourself what it takes to be an 11-year-old guitarist who can beat or at least match, because maybe he got some extra credit just for being young. I don't know. But imagine being an 11-year-old guitarist who can beat Steely Dan's guitarist. I'm not saying Steely Dan is necessarily, the pinnacle of anything, but that's the situation we had at hand. And he can beat him in a guitar battle, in a concert, on stage in front of thousands of people. What kind of kid does he have to be? How many hours has he spent practicing that guitar? All right. Clearly, social interaction was not his big thing. He's not, he's not a big state. He's a guitar nerd. It's what he does. And suddenly he got put into this situation, and now they're putting this fake band together, and they're putting him out on stage, and they're moving around. I can't imagine that he's comfortable with any of this. He looks like a kid who, by the way, really just enjoys playing his guitar, and all the rest of this is just, okay, so we'll make some money, and it's really cool to do this, but he doesn't look ready for it. He really doesn't. So, now, fast forward to Smash Mouth. All right, Aiden Fischer Band, the opening act, they go away. Fast forward to Smash Mouth, and towards the end of their, they're probably two-thirds of the way through their set, and the lead singer invites Aiden Fischer out to play with them. And they've never played with him before. This is only the opening band here because they're local. They haven't been on the road with him. They've never met him before. He doesn't know anything about this kid other than he just saw what little he saw of the opening act while he was backstage. And so they bring Aiden Fischer out and they have him perform a couple of their songs with him. And you can see it was gorgeous watching the band members of Smash Mouth who were all so fascinated that they just went over and they just sat next to this kid while he's performing. I mean, they're still playing their own instruments, but they all positioned themselves so they could watch his hands work because he was that amazing. And they all had a great time watching him. And, the lead singer he's a gregarious dude. He is a performer. He knows how to get around a stage and get people fired up. And so he was playing up to Aiden Fischer the way he plays up to the rest of his bandmates, getting right up close and singing right next to him, putting an arm on him, you know, just being around. And finally, at some point, it was just the weirdest thing. Suddenly, the lead singer said something, made a comment, and then is moving off. And Aiden Fischer, I don't know if he took it as a compliment or he was slightly embarrassed or whatever, but he looks up and he smiles. It was the first smile we saw of him, and it was genuine and it was big, and it was just heartwarming. It was like, oh yeah, no, he's a human being. Because up till then, you just assumed he was this 12-year-old guitar-playing robot that they put on stage to entertain us. But no, that smile was when it all clicked for me, and I'm like, oh, this is just a 12-year-old kid who doesn't know what the hell he's doing here. I mean, he knows he's playing guitar, but he doesn't know why they brought him on stage. All of this is just overwhelming. And here's Smash Mouth's lead singer, whose name I wish I had off the top of my head so I could refer to him by name. Screw you, Google. I'm not going there. And suddenly this guy is treating him like a human being, treating him like he would any other person on stage. And it finally got Aiden to break a little bit and he starts smiling. And then later you could see, okay, they're going to move into this song. So Smash Mouth's guitarist comes over and whispers in his ear and gives him a few cues and stands there next to him while they play. And Aiden starts actually jumping around. He got him to start pogoing while he's playing. And you can see he was just having fun. All right. Finally, he was enjoying himself. It was really cool. They lured the two guitarists, Aiden and the Smash Mouth guitarist, lured them into a guitar battle just to have fun with that idea. And clearly Aiden totally outclassed this dude. I mean, really good. And they all bowed down to him and they made a big deal about him. And at one point, finally, and I think my wife found the video of this online. So you can actually see this happen where, the singer comes over and he's like, all right, cool. You played some of our songs. What do you want to play? What do you want to play? And Aiden is just deer in the headlights. Just no clue why anyone would be asking him. He's like, no, seriously, who do you like? Who do you like? Okay, you like them? You know this song? How about this one? He goes, all right, fine, whatever. Just play whatever you want. You play what you want. And so after a few seconds, Aiden just starts into whatever. He's just cutting a riff. And they haven't worked this out ahead of time. They've never met each other. And once he picked a song, and they all realize, oh my God, we know this song. Quick, follow him, go. And they all rush to get to their instruments and they start playing with him and the singer picks up the lines and it was beautiful. I mean, it was a magic moment afterwards. I mean, this concert, we had a great time. When it got to I'm a Believer, because they finally got Aiden off the stage. And when it got to I'm a Believer, me and my three sons, Aiden couldn't make it. He was at a marching band competition. And he would have skipped it, except it was the marching band competition at our school. So we're the hosts and it was kind of important that everyone be there. Otherwise he would have come with us. And I'm so sorry he didn't make it because he would have loved it. But anyway, me and the other three kids I'm a Believer, and we were all screaming the entire song at the top of our lungs. And we were swaying back and forth and just moving and having a great time. And it was awesome. By the time they got to All Star, we could have crapped ourselves at that point. We were just having so much fun. After the whole thing is over, we're driving home. And after a big event, we always go through the kids. All right, what was your favorite part of the day? And when it got to my 11-year-old, Eli, I go, okay, Eli, what was your favorite part of today? And he says, when Aiden Fischer smiled for the first time. I'm like, oh my God, me too. I can't believe – I mean, we hadn't talked about it, nothing. And he latched onto the exact same moment I did. That was magical. It was really, really fun. So this was a lesson to me. I – you know what? Again, I was thinking, Smash Mouth, really? And I was just prejudging the experience. I mean, look, I'm going to a Boy Scout Jubilee where I'm going to listen to Smash Mouth. All right, whatever. I mean, you know, as long as I'm going to be there anyway. And I kind of dismissed it when people made fun of it. Yeah, I kind of played along. I'm like, whatever. I'm just going because it's a scout thing. Whatever. No, to hell with that. I am proud. If Smash Mouth were to come around again, and they will, I absolutely am going to watch those guys in concert again. If I get the chance, yeah, I'll be there. And you know what? And the nice part is, because people don't take them seriously, they think of them as a bunch of has-beens and they're 20 years old. And, oh, yeah, the Shrek guys, whatever. Because of that, that means I can probably go see them for like $20. That's a great concert. I highly recommend it. If you get a chance to see Smash Mouth, seriously, go do it. You'll have a great time. I'm amazed at how much fun I had. And I do it again in a heartbeat. But that is all I have for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. And I am a little dry, so I am going to pause while I go get a drink. Hold on. Oh, much better. Because seriously, after the torture I've put my voice through in the last couple of days, really important to be hydrated when I get to the Pod-O-Matic! Hot dog! This is the Nerd Bride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, funny you should ask that, because that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on our forums, and I will add it to the Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. Oh, Lucy just sent me a bunch of new questions, too. Apparently, she was so thrilled she's finally catching up on the podcast. She was so thrilled to hear me read off some of her questions and actually give what she thought were good answers to them. You're welcome. That she sent me like a dozen more, and they're really good ones, and I hope I get some of her questions today because that was entertaining. But first off, we have got number 4. And number 4 is, it's from my brother Kyle. Surprise. Kyle says, hold on. I can't see the whole question. It's a long one because it usually is with Kyle. Kyle says, we all know that the greatest failed presidential campaign of recent times was Weasley / Scorpion King 2008. And it was. Oh, man. Ron Weasley for Muggle president. That was the slogan that sold it all. It wasn't just that Ron Weasley was running for president. It doesn't matter that he's not a natural-born American citizen. He's British. The important part is he's running for Muggle president. Beautiful. And then who do we pair him up with after all of our talk about, well, maybe one of his brothers, maybe Fred, maybe, you know what, Hermione would probably make a good vice president. Finally, we settled on, you know, after going through Hagrid, and I mean, we went through everybody, and finally said, no, you know what, Scorpion King. Weasley Scorpion King 2008. It was a brilliant campaign. Brilliant. Oh, I'm just sorry we didn't get to see that one through to fruition because it was spectacular. Okay. But my brother's question continues. Assuming that they are both off of the market now, who could be the next great pairing for President of the United States? Oh, 2016. Okay. This is tough because you've given me Weasley Scorpion King as the bar. And now I feel like I have to live up to that. And yet I also have to do it in all of 15 seconds because, well, I'm doing a Pod-O-Matic. I can't just pause, go take a crap, and think about it while I'm in there. No, I have to come up with something now. So your fault, you have to listen through my thought process here so I can entertain as I think. And I'm stalling as I go. All right. Mr. Rogers is the first person I think of. He's dead, true, but you know, being fictional didn't stop anyone else, so dead is probably okay. All right, but that's a little – I don't see the fire in that. I'm imagining having bumper stickers and banners and stuff and seeing Rogers for president. Yeah, you know what? It's too expected. from my list of favorite people, Neil Patrick Harris. Yeah. I don't know. Fictional. No. See, I'd love to see Amelia Pond, but I also feel like it has to be more recognizable than that, because the problem with Amelia Pond, the other thing is I'm trying to stay away from main characters here, as I'm thinking. I don't want, because that was the magic of Ron Weasley. It wasn't Harry Potter for Muggle President. No, it was Ron Weasley for Muggle President. We took the sidekick, and somehow that just made it better. The flavor was right. And so if I take Amelia Pond, who is my favorite of the Doctor's partners, without having the TARDIS behind her or the Doctor standing next to her, she's not real recognizable on a bumper sticker. I mean, she's pretty redhead at that point. I mean, yeah, we could, but no. Oh, man, this is tough. Okay, Lord of the Rings. See, Samwise is my favorite, but again, Samwise is just a hobbit. When you see, yeah, I mean, Gamgee, most people are going to be going, okay, Gamgee, who the hell is that? They would have no idea. Or Gimli. See, same thing. He's just a random dwarf. He doesn't even necessarily have to be a Lord of the Rings dwarf. Not Legolas, because he's too obvious, he's already too flamboyant, too out there. I don't want to. I need a property that people aren't expecting this from. See, now, and I'm also, maybe in this process I'm giving away too much. Because, all right, now Rocket Raccoon would be a good presidential candidate, but who do you pair him with? No. I got it. Okay. I want Rick Grimes from The Walking Dead, because first off, easily recognizable. You put, again, not everybody knows Walking Dead, but if you're even vaguely familiar with Walking Dead, when you see the sheriff hat and the missing hand, spoilers, you're going to know that that's Rick Grimes. You're going to know it's Sheriff Grimes. All right. And let me look. Proven leadership skills. He is a qualified leader, all right, unlike Ron Weasley. Proven leadership skills. He's a hero cop wounded in the line of duty. And best of all, he doesn't want to be leader. He doesn't want to be in charge, but he takes up the mantle because duty compels him to do so. He's noble. All right. We want Rick Grimes as our president. And now, and this was okay. And I saw this coming the minute I said, you'll see it. For vice president, Groot. See, because Grimes is, yes, he's a great leader. He's strong. He's a man of action. But sometimes he can get a little weepy and emotional. Sometimes a little mentally unstable, which is not bad in the president, but it happens. So who better to keep someone level, someone on even keel, the way he keeps Rocket Raccoon on even keel, than Groot? Grimes Groot, 2016. That is my ticket. Excellent. And this is a... Darn it. All right. I don't know what's wrong with this stupid thing that keeps not rolling right, but you have really got to help me out here. Let's try this again. There we go. And now we have a number 60. And this... Hey, and it's from Lucy. All right. Lucy says... Hold on. Sorry. Coughing fit and drink break again. I'm telling you, maybe I got a cold coming on. I don't know what it is. Anyway, number 60 is from Lucy, and it says, if you imagined Dothan having reasonably decent luck and living the next few decades of a life she found happy and satisfying, what would she be doing at age 50? All right, just to explain, Dothan is my half-orc bard character. She is currently a 16-year-old bard in Pathfinder, playing in the Rise of the Rood Lords campaign, and we are at book 2 right now, so she's currently 4th level. What would I see Dothan doing at the age of 50? Ruling the world, if you want me to be honest. I mean... She doesn't see that. I mean, to her, she imagines that she's going to get older and she'll continue performing and maybe be one of the greatest performers on the planet because she's on track to be that. But also she sees herself being surrounded by friends and family, and she'll also have that too. There will be family and there will be friends and there will be the performances and the magic and the power that comes with all that. But I just have this vision of where things are going, and I imagine her being in charge of something big inadvertently and inadvisedly, because she's only got a wisdom of 7, so not really a smart move to put her in charge of anything. But it just, I don't know. And there's no solid picture in my head, but I imagine she's destined for greatness in some way. And probably that's not the way it's going to pan out, but that's the vision in my mind. And it may or may not be what she wants. I mean, like I say, for her, I think she really just wants to be happy and make sure everyone's safe and have a good time. And again, have a family, have people around her that she loves and cares about. I think that's all she's looking for. But again, I have this vision that there's going to be something bigger there. Maybe it's just me. 91. Roll all the way down, if I can find my mouse. And we say 91 is from DM Darks. Hey, Darks. Darks says, which is a more effective weapon? A crossbow that shoots live cats or a machine gun that shoots gerbils? That depends on what you're using it for. It also depends on how fast you're shooting them. I mean, if you're shooting out gerbils at machine gun speed, they're going to probably mostly disintegrate before they get anywhere. They're going to lose speed really fast because, it's a gerbil. You're also going to lose speed really fast with a cat, too. So ultimately, it's, do you want to be able to throw a cat at a person every few seconds, however long it takes you to reload a crossbow, or do you want to be able to throw hundreds of gerbils at them in a short period of time? I'm going to go with cats. Neither one is going to be terribly effective as a weapon ultimately. Although, again, it depends on what you're using it for. Because, if you just want to drive somebody backwards, because you're not going to kill anybody with either one of these weapons unless you're really, really lucky with it. If you're just looking at driving somebody back, I think getting pelted with gerbils is a really effective way of knocking somebody back. If you are bombarding me with, 12 gerbils a second or whatever your machine guns fire, I'm pretty sure I'm running for cover right away. I am getting out of the line of fire. On the other hand, if you're lobbing a cat at me every 15 seconds, you know what? No, I've changed my mind. I'm going for the gerbils. Now that I picture it in those terms, because you lob a cat at me, even if it's a vicious cat, I'm not scared of the cat. Yeah, they claw and they tear a little bit, and especially if you get hit in the face with a cat, that's going to be pretty well suck. But getting hit in the face with a cat or getting hit in the face with 30 gerbils, I'll go with the cat. That gerbil thing really sounds like it sucks. You got to imagine. Just imagine 12 gerbils a second, but coming at you at a speed that isn't going to tear the gerbils completely in half as they're flying. Obviously it's got to be survivable. Well, it doesn't have to be survivable. It has to keep the gerbils in one piece when they get to you. Yeah, being pelted by gerbils sucks. All right, 63. And that is from Ronster. Ron says, what is your favorite dog breed? Bulldog. I like a good English bulldog. I like it just because they look cool. And that's about it. I own a Boston Terrier. I also own a King Charles Cavalier / Corgi mix. And she's mean. I don't like her. She's not mean. She's just kind of pushy. She's bossy. But I like my Boston, even though he's not even a purebred Boston. We have papers that says he's a purebred. We don't believe it for a minute. He's a little flawed here and there, but he's a good dog. And I like my Boston a lot. Because Boston's really, their job is to eat, cuddle, and fart. That's what they do. They're house dogs. They really are perfectly happy with not going out and exercising. I mean, they'll go out and exercise and they'll run around. They can have as much energy as the next dog when it comes down to it, but they don't have to do that because they're really kind of lazy dogs. English Bulldog, I just feel like, I don't know, there's something cool about it, and I feel like it's the same kind of mentality as a Boston. I see them as being similar in that way, but yeah, I could be wrong. I've never actually had an English Bulldog. In fact, I don't even know if I've ever pet an English Bulldog. I may have seen one in person, but I don't know if I've ever actually interacted with one in any way. I just think they look cool. 95 is Zimmy Pot. Hey, Zim. Zim said, I'm sorry, I'm getting all stuffed up here, and so if my enthusiasm is dying a little bit, I do have a cold coming on. That's part of my voice problem. So that's what's going on. All right. Zim says, have you ever completed 100% of a video game? I believe I have not. Maybe. I'm trying to think, because, like, you know, various Mario games and Legend of Zelda. Legend of Zelda Link to the Past. That one I played all the way through and I won. So, yeah, that's 100%, right? But then, like, Super Mario World, yeah, I solved it. I went all the way through and I beat Bowser and I've beaten every world. But I haven't gone through and found all of the hidden doors, and I haven't gone through and gotten the 5 red coins on every level. I've gotten on most of them. I've gotten really far, but not quite to the end. But I have a habit with games like Super Mario Sunshine. I played that one through almost to the end. My kids beat it, and I wound up, I got really close to the end, like 2 or 3 worlds away, and then, I was done. Half-Life, strangely. Half-Life, I got almost to the end of Half-Life. Almost, and then never finished it. Don't know why. My son did. My son went all the way through, and once he told me, you know, he gets through it, and I'm watching him play some of these end levels, and I'm like, oh, that's all I had left to do? Oh, man, I shouldn't have quit. So, finishing a video game to 100% completion is pretty rare for me. That's, yeah, doesn't happen often. Number 27. Let's roll up the board. And, oh, it's from Billy Bob. Billy Bob says, what is your favorite day of the week? Really? Saturday? I mean, is that cliche? I'm fond of Saturday. I really am. Although, if I had to pick a second, Wednesday is usually pretty cool, only because it's named after Odin, and I like that. But not Saturday. I mean, look, Saturday's that day where you could sleep in if you wanted to. You've got all day to do whatever you want to do, and you don't have to worry about what time you get to bed because you don't have to go to work on Sunday. Because I'm a traditional guy who is working a nice Monday to Friday job, and so therefore, my weekend is the traditional weekend, and I really like my Saturdays. 54 is from Dire Cat. God, have we had any repeats on people this time? This is cool. Dire Cat says, what is the worst thing, according to the law, that you have ever done? I once went out with some buddies in college, and we stole some road signs. Not street signs, but like big. We stole a weight limit sign for a bridge. And, you know, I don't think that was a huge deal. We took the weight limit sign off the bridge and brought it home, and that was kind of cool. And it was always our dream that we would mount that over the toilet once we got our own apartment. But I don't think we ever did that. But it would have been cool if we had. But the one that bothers me, I think we stole 3 total because there were 3 of us out there, so we wanted 1 for each of us. And I don't remember what the second one was, but the third one was a giant yellow double arrow. We were amazed at how big the thing was once we got to it. And here's the deal. If you're going to steal street signs, you go out on backcountry roads to do it. Okay, so we did. And we stole this one from a T intersection. So a dirt road comes down and it dead ends at a cornfield and you wind up, it's a T intersection that goes off left and right. So to keep you from driving off into the ditch and into the cornfield, there's a huge yellow sign at the end of there that that has the big black double arrow pointing in either direction, showing you that there's no road here. So if you've got the picture of it, what we've done now is we've taken away on a dirt road, an unlit back road, we've taken away the only thing that gives drivers any warning that they're going to drive off the edge and into a cornfield and possibly wreck their car and hurt themselves, if not at a very minimum, tearing up some farmer's fields. Okay? That was really, really dangerous. I don't know what the legal penalty is for molesting a road sign, but I do know that what we did was really, really dangerous. It was really potentially really harmful to other people. And after we did it, we got home and we giggled about it a little bit. But then the next day we went, wow, that was really stupid. I have felt bad about that ever since. And fortunately, there was never any report of anyone crashing or dying there that I ever heard of. Not that I was paying close attention. And one would imagine that within a month or so, somebody eventually noticed it and put it back up. Yes, so they got a new one out there, I'm sure, eventually. But in the meantime, I feel horrible about that. That was terrible. I mean, again, I don't know what the legal penalties are. I mean, for all I know, it was counted as minor vandalism and it's not nearly as bad as, you know, reckless driving or whatever, stuff like that. And when I say reckless driving, I do mean that when I first got, my one car, when I was in college, again, I was very bad in college. When I got my one car at that time, me and a friend took it out and he wanted to see how fast it would go. And we wound up driving like 110, out on some highway somewhere. And so 110, if I had gotten pulled over, would have been a huge ticket just for speeding. It certainly would have been reckless driving, at a minimum, possibly something else tagged onto it. So depending on what they want to charge me with, I mean, all of those driving offenses, are those better or worse than stealing a road sign? I don't know. I have no idea what the legal penalties are. I suspect stealing the road sign was still probably the most severe, and I felt horrible about it. I felt bad because whether it comes with a stiff legal penalty or not, it was dangerous and stupid. I was putting other people in danger for it. I feel really horrible about that. But, you know, also, there were two other guys there, so I'm really only a third to blame for it. Right? Look, group mentality. I was just going along with the crowd. Peer pressure. It's not my fault. Yeah, let's get out of that one. 81. 81 says, there it is. Hey, it's Ronster again. And Ronster says, if you had to rename Nerd Pride Radio, what would you call it? I would just call it Nerd Pride. That was my initial take on it was I just wanted to be Nerd Pride. I wanted to be Nerd Pride with the Nerd Pride podcast, with the Nerd Pride website. If you wanted to come visit us, you'd just go to nerdpride.com. Unfortunately, someone is squatting on nerdpride.com. And I looked into it and they wanted $100 to let that one go. And I said, no, hell no, I'm not going to reward that sort of practice. I'll come up with something else. So I came up with Nerd Pride Radio. Do I have something else that would work as well? I mean, I haven't thought of anything outside of Nerd Pride. I never considered anything else. So, alternate names for my website and podcast? No clue. At this point, it's so perfectly encapsulated in my mind by Nerd Pride Radio, I can't think of it any other way. But yeah, like I say, initially there wasn't supposed to be a radio on there, but I needed to come up with something. I didn't want, anyway. So, I'm just dodging this question. 64. Which it is episode 64. Does that make this our golden pot-o-matic? That is amazing. All right, well, it's not really amazing. It's just random chance. It was bound to happen eventually. And this one is from Zimny Pot. Have you ever played a hive mind character in a game? No. If no, ever thought about it or seen someone else do it? No. I'm confused. Oh, wait, no, that's moving into Kyle's question, which is 65. A hive mind character in a game. That is also a tough one because, I mean, there's two ways to play a hive mind character. I mean, either one, you're just one cog in some greater entity, like being a Borg for that. And you know, while they had Seven of Nine and they've shown that there can be some independence from the hive mind or that you can break free or whatever, but this is specifically role-playing a hive mind character. And thus, if you're role-playing just a cog in that, you would have a very limited set of independence, a limited set of decisions that you could make because you would be so intimately tied back to. And if it's a true hive mind, I mean, literally the only way to play it is to play the full hive. You have to be, as a player, as a character, playing the entire hive. That would be the only thing that makes real sense to me. And I can't even envision it. I can't imagine the situation where you're going to be doing that. Unless, you know, when we say hive mind, maybe we're talking about a very small hive. Maybe you're talking about, you know, one character who has three bodies and controls all three of them, through a single consciousness that controls all three. In which case, I have made characters like that for superhero games where you have, you know, like Multiple Man or some of these others, Triplicate Girl, things like that, where I've made characters who have the ability to split into more than one person, and they're all under control of the same mind all at once. But that's really, that's a superhero, and it's not a true hive mind, because, I mean, for me, it was only creating characters that could do, you know, like three or four at a time. And ultimately, it was only for short periods, and then they would merge back together, and they'd be one person again. So, and I never played any of those characters. I just created them. So I can say, yes, I've thought about it now because you forced me to, but other than that, no, that's not something that has ever come up in my experience. Unless someone can give me some other examples, maybe my view of what a hive mind consists of is really, really narrow. And maybe somebody can point out to me, oh, but have you considered this? This would be, technically be a hive mind. You've done stuff like that. Oh, I guess I have. So, but I don't think so. That's very foreign to me. 40 comes from somebody who listens to this podcast. Sure enough, it's Kyle. Hey, Kyle. Kyle says, I've been biting the inside of my mouth more as I get older. Am I just losing my fine motor skills, or is the inside of my mouth getting fatter? I am going to bet on fatter, you big fatty. Are you sure you do it more? Have you perhaps changed habits that would cut? Maybe it's not that you're fatter. Maybe your dental care is going downhill in your old age because you've decided you just don't give a crap and you're too distracted by your 17 children to be able to take proper care of yourself. And thus, without proper dental care, you have more swelling inside your mouth and thus more to accidentally bite on. I don't think it's that you're getting fatter. I think you've lost weight over the last few years. I'm pretty sure you have, since you can't eat anything. Maybe it's just the motor skills going. Maybe this is like, you know, as you start losing your ability to balance and your muscles become more stiff and you're going to fall over and break hips, maybe biting the inside of your mouth is just something that goes along with that. I have no idea. I don't experience that same problem because I'm not as old as you are. So I'm not sure, dude, but I wish you the best of luck. 34 is from Humongous. Hey, Humongous. Good to hear from you again. And Humongous says, are you a fan of the awesomely bad movie Hawk the Slayer? I have never heard of Hawk the Slayer, so therefore, my answer is no. But Google is my friend. So, let's go see. Come on, Google. There you go. Hawk the Slayer. And it says 1980. Okay, and I'm looking at a guy on the cover who looks like Han Solo with a sword held in both hands over his head. And when I say held in both hands, I mean he's holding the hilt with one hand and the end of the blade with the other. So that's Hawk. What the hell? But what's that arm doing? None of this makes any sense. Hold on. Let me get a close-up of this cover. If you want to come join me. Oh. Is that a broken sleeve? What are you? I don't understand this picture at all. This is, something is really not right on there. Yeah, his sleeve is torn, but I can't see. It looks like there's something, maybe it's just hanging there awkwardly. I got nothing. Okay. Anyway, doesn't make any difference. It is a dude on the cover wearing a Han Solo vest and holding this sword over his head. Oh, God, I got nothing on it? Oh, because I went to a close-up of the cover. With Jack Palance? Oh, my goodness. You gotta love Jack Palance. Directed by Terry Purcell. I have no idea who that is. Oh, Terry Marcel. Sorry about that. Hawk, having suffered the ignominy, I've never liked that word, ignominy of watching both his father and fiancé die at the hands of his brother, Voltan, sets out on a quest for companions to aid him in his fight to stop his brother's reign of evil and free the Abbess. We don't know who the Abbess is based on that. But if you liked this, here's a list of barbarian movies. Maybe you'd like Masters of the Universe. Maybe you'd like this sequel to Highlander that was no good. All right. Well, at least I know what genre we're in. All right. I have not ever heard of this movie in the least. Jack Palance is the evil Voltan. John Terry is Hawk. And then a bunch of people I don't recognize. Oh, Patricia Quinn. All right, I recognize her. What was she? She was one of the two from Rocky Horror Picture Show. I can see her picture now. She's Magenta. Okay. Patricia Quinn. Yeah, nobody else I recognize. Okay, I have not seen this, but if it is on Netflix on Instant Watch, I will add it to my instant queue, and maybe it will show up randomly for me to watch sometime in the future. Let's find out if Netflix ever comes up. There it is. My internet is way too slow for this crap. And we go Hawk the Slayer. Hawk the Slayer. No, I can only get it on disc, so I'm not going to get it. Too bad. 46. 46 is from Ronster. Are the Borg Swedish space Vikings? Okay, I get the joke now. And no, were you not just listening to me? The Borg. All right, yeah, no, I get it. That's great. No, they're an evil cyber hive mind collective that takes over worlds and destroys people and assimilates everything in Star Trek, The Next Generation specifically. Although, also in whatever the crossover movie was, Star Trek 7 Generations, was that it? The one that had Kirk and Picard in it? They were in that too. So, yeah, no, they're not. But man, that would be so funny if it was, because I have a group of Norwegian space Vikings for a world I'm working on. And I love them. And no, they've not at any point been called the Borg, but that would be so cool if they were. 46 again. R2 held them down. 72. That one's better. 72 is from Ronster again. Way to dominate, my friend. And Ronster says, if you, by law, had to name your children after celestial bodies, what would their names be? After celestial bodies. That gives me some pretty open ground there, because there's a lot of celestial bodies. I'm betting if I looked far enough, I could find something named John and just call them, you know, whatever common name I wanted. But I'm just going to stick to names of celestial bodies that I know. I have four sons. Oberon, Puck. I listened to Me Like Trivia, and they named a lot of the moons of Saturn. Or Neptune. Was it Neptune? Uranus. No, it was Uranus. That's right, because Pat said that everything that circles around Uranus is named after fairies. So anyway, which was my favorite line of the whole podcast. And let's see, what would I name them? Aries. Aries is a good one. Let's see, I've got Aries, I've got Puck. Whoa, would I go? No, No, I wouldn't do Pluto. I wouldn't do Ceres. Haumea? Because I'm sitting here listing off dwarf planets in my mind now. Orcus, Haumea, Makemake. Oh, it's not Haumea, is it? It's just Haumea. And I'm Makemake. I confuse the two. All right, this is boring for you guys because all I'm doing is thinking out loud as my mind wanders through planets. So I'm not entirely 100% on this. But I'm going to go with Aries, Puck, Sol, because I've always loved the name Sol. I would never, in real life, I would never name one of my kids Sol. Sol is an old Jewish man's name, but I just think Sol is a great name. It's got a lot of character to it. I really like that name. And Beetlejuice. 74 from Kyle. Kyle says, is cheese as good as I remember it? Oh, God, yes. Dude, it's even better. You know why? Because there's so many kinds of cheese. Cheese goes in everything. You can add tons of sugar to it and make it cheesecake. You can put it on your burgers. Oh, that's right. You can't have buns. Oh, man. It's rough for you, dude. But more than anything, you just make it into dip, and you dip your chips in it, and you enjoy yourself. Because cheese dip is the bomb, baby. Yeah, cheese is awesome. But then he goes on. Related question. Is soy cheese as bad as it was when I first started eating it? Because it tastes fine to me now. Yes. Yes, it's just as bad as when you first started eating it. It absolutely is. I just had soy cheese. I wouldn't say recently, but within the last year to 18 months. Someone had some for, I don't even know what. It was at work, of all places. And soy cheese was available. And I tried it just to be nice. And it's not great. I would rather have processed American cheese food product. But hey, you know, to each his own. And yeah, soy cheese is still pretty nasty, dude. It still tastes exactly the same as it did when you first started eating it. Which means it still sucks. It's you that's changed. It's you, dude. 85. And it's from Humongous. Humongous says, hold on, gotta number it. Star Trek or Star Wars? Star Trek. I love both. I love both a lot. And I've got high hopes for the new one, for the new Star Wars movies. I hoping this goes well. I'd like to find some really new, cool entertainment in the Star Wars universe. I'd like to see some stuff I've never seen before and be wowed by it like I was by the first movies when I was a kid. That would be great. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. I still like Star Wars. But Star Trek has always been my favorite of the two. And they're two different things. And I don't count the new Star Trek reboot movies as real Star Trek. Those are just big blockbuster action movies, and they're a lot of fun, and I really enjoy those, but they're not real Star Trek. I mean, that universe is not built for that sort of story. The whole point of Star Trek is that Star Trek is a reflection on the human condition. It is a way of examining modern problems and modern issues through the lens of science fiction so that people don't immediately go for their guns when a particular issue comes up. You know, that you can talk about, you know, when it was the original series, you can talk about race and you can talk about gender and you can talk about sexuality and you can talk about different things. But because it's a science fiction thing, we're not talking about black people. We're talking about, and you could discuss what racial issues were going on. You could discuss what societal problems we were facing, what, you know, great thing. And you could do all of that through that sci-fi lens that kind of cushioned it. It didn't make people immediately jump up and go with their knee-jerk reactions. And you examined the human condition through science fiction. That is Star Trek at its best. And I felt the original series did that really well. And as a result, the original series is very much a product of its time. And it comes across as very, very corny, very cornball in retrospect. And it is, but we can still enjoy it for all that. I mean, it was progressive in a lot of ways, but also still pretty sexist and still had its issues. Next Generation was better. Next Generation, also a product of its times. But followed that same mold of using this, you know, exploring strange new worlds, seek out new life and new civilizations, and using that to explore humanity itself and explore our modern culture. And did a really good job of it. I have never delved too far into any of the other Star Trek series, so I can't really speak to them. I can only speak to the first two. And as that's the kind of Trek that I like, and I would love to see a new Star Trek series come out in the next decade that follows that same mold and does that same sort of thing. And that would be awesome. I mean, look, the J.J. Abrams movies are fun, but they're not real Star Trek either. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. Okay, that is the end of this podcast. At least I'm pretty sure it is. Let's see. Yeah, we're at a minute 10, and I'm kind of short on time today for reasons that were explained before. And my voice is starting to go again. I can feel it. It's burning a little bit. So it's really time to go. So before I get to the credits, we'll give GLaDOS another shot at doing a recap.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2014 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk, and my only bumper music this week was Two Turntables and a Microphone by Beck. These songs are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them. I wouldn't include them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you feel like doing something nice for this podcast, head on over to iTunes, write me a nice review, check out my Facebook page at facebook.com/nerdprideradio. Stop at that Facebook page, click the like button. It's 9 seconds out of your busy day. You can do that for a buddy. Don't forget to check out my free games on my free games page, Instant Game, Animal Ball Melee, Sandbox Hill, 2/3 of a Dozen Others, all free, all the time. If you want to contact me, you could do so on Twitter at Nerd Pride Radio, or you could email me at mike@nerdprideradio.com, and I promise I would actually respond to you, but to be totally honest, the very best way to talk to me is you come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. You sign up, you send me a message, we will hang out together, we'll have fun. All right, now's the time where I get to the My Listeners Have Betrayed Me segment of the podcast, and I go out to the forums and I read what people have said while I was recording. I posted up and said, surprise, I've got a new podcast going. Do you want to add something to it? And sure enough, people do. Akiva quotes me and then says, if I post my manifesto, will you read it? It's only about 112 pages, single-spaced. Yes, I would. Talvin then follows up with, I recently read that there are no more Saturday morning cartoons on network television. What were your favorite Saturday morning cartoons or after school cartoons when you were growing up? After school cartoons, I just remember Magilla Gorilla. Magilla Gorilla after school, we had literally one cable station in our town. It was a local cable station, and so to fill time in the afternoons, they played a group of cartoons that included Magilla Gorilla. And I don't remember Grape Ape was in there. Grape Ape wasn't in there. Grape Ape came later on Saturday morning. What was in there? Magilla Gorilla and I don't even remember what. And I really, really enjoyed that. For Saturday morning cartoons, I watched lots and lots and lots of Saturday morning cartoons. Probably the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour. And all the various manifestations of the Looney Tunes cartoons were probably my favorites in the long term. But I also remember when the D&D cartoon, Dungeons & Dragons cartoon, first came out. Oh, I could not wait to watch the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon. Every single week, it was the one cartoon that I absolutely would not miss no matter what. Schoolhouse Rock. Schoolhouse Rock was brilliant. I loved Schoolhouse Rock. But it was never... You never knew when it was going to happen. And so I would watch whatever station Schoolhouse Rock was on simply to wait for the chance to hear a Schoolhouse Rock, because I knew that if it was going to come on, it would be on this channel. And I was always excited when it finally got to it. Always loved Schoolhouse Rock. So very good. That's a good question, man. Let's see. Anybody else? Oh, Akiva. Akiva says, Why does Talvin always horn in on my racket? Because he's an attention whore. You can't get around that. There you go. That's the end of this podcast. Say goodnight, R2.